Let us begin this evening, this young people's evening address with the singing of hymn number 698. Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? 698.
Thank you.
tonight you can find in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. As for the reading of God's most holy word, may it his blessing to our never-dying souls and teach us to pray. O gracious, most merciful and long-suffering God of heaven, O thou, Lord, who art truly the only God of heaven and earth, thou who hast created the heavens and this earth out of nothing, O thou, by thy infinite wisdom and power, that hast set this earth in the solar system, that thou, Lord, hast granted unto us that we might live upon this earth, that we might behold thy wisdom and thy power. O Lord, we come tonight again with these young men and women to come before thy holy word and to bow before thy presence in prayer tonight again, O Lord God, that thou in thy mercy might remember us. O thou art a God of love, gracious, long-suffering and merciful, plenteous in mercy renewed every day. How great is thy faithfulness. And Lord, we do come to ask thy presence tonight in our midst. And though we are unworthy creatures and full of sin, but thou, Lord, might look down upon us tonight and glorify. O glorify thyself in thy love, in thy mercy to the hearts of poor sinners, in the instruction of poor sinners in the way of salvation, that we might know thy glorious Son, that we might know thee, O Lord God, that we might increase in that knowledge of thee, that we might be exercised in the truths of religion, and that we might be brought to the feet of Jesus continually to beg for mercy. O Lord, that thou might remember these young ones and their great and various needs, from the youngest to the eldest, Lord, remember them. Remember them in the circumstances of their lives. Remember them in the places that they are at this moment, whether in schools yet or in universities, whether in the workplace, Lord, thou knowest where each one of them are. We come, Lord, to cry unto thee, in mercy remember them each. In mercy, Lord, instruct them. In mercy, enlighten their understanding. In mercy, draw them unto thyself, that they might become thy sons and daughters, that their hearts may be pricked even now, that they might see themselves in that state wherein they've been born, from sinful parents, born and conceived in sin. And soon as our hearts began to beat, it drank in various woe. Oh, that they might see these things even now, and be given that uplifted eye, Lord, to turn unto thee. And the cry may be, O Lord, have mercy on me. And so, Lord, we commit these young ones to thy throne of grace, that thou might look down from heaven even now, that thou would stir up their hearts, and make them thy church. Bind them unto thy glorious Son, Jesus Christ, and graft them unto that glorious vine, and that they may know the truths of the gospel, and it may prove effectual in their lives. O Lord, we plead that thou might separate them, and that true sanctification, where thou separates thy people to thyself, and shows them the wonders of salvation, preserves them in their life, prepares them for eternity. Lord, prepare each one, we pray, that they might know Christ Jesus and bow before his presence in time. We ask these great blessings unto thee, Lord, for thou alone can give them. Grant, Lord, that greatest of blessings, that they might become, that church of thine, and that in the generation to come, they might grow up as those ones that become leaders in the church, that they become pillars of the church, and they might become all those sons and daughters who are able to point others to the way of salvation, that they might be preserved in that truth, bound up in those sacred doctrines of thy holy word. O Lord, remember them. The need is great. We pray for each one of them in their trials and troubles, that thou, Lord, might instruct those that are burdened and those in sicknesses, those with weak bodies, those with troubles too heavy to bear, that they might come unto thee, O Lord, with their confessions. Lord, we beg of thee that thou might appear, that hearts may be softened, that there might be patience and submission to thy holy wisdom concerning them, but that thou, Lord Jesus, might come, that gracious physician to heal and to counsel in all the trials of life, and that there may be that faith given unto each one to cast that burden they bear upon the shoulders of yon lovely man, to come to love thee, Lord Jesus, for each trial and each affliction, that it soften the soul and turn it to Christ. Lord, remember such ones. Oh, bind them, Lord, and one to another. Grant them to see the truths of the denomination that they belong unto. And, oh, Lord, that they might stand in it, stand in the truths that are taught, and that they might know that these are truly the truths of the holy word of God, vital to the salvation of their souls. Lord, remember them, spare them, and sustain them. And so now, Lord, as we turn unto thy sacred and holy word, that thou, Lord, might remember us together. For, oh, we cannot reach into the heart, thou alone can do it. We pray, Lord, that the word might prove effectual. And we pray that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be revealed, that thy name may be glorified in all that we do this evening, in our worship together this night. And Lord, do remember us in mercy, for we feel ourselves poor and unable to do one good thing. But, O gracious God, remember us and bless us this evening hour, that we might leave the doors of this house of prayer with those songs of rejoicing within us, and that knowledge that though we are sinners, there is that blessed Savior who hath washed our sins away. O Lord, remember us, we pray, in that blessed name of our Lord and Savior, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, dear friends, we gather again a year later from our last visit, and the Lord has graciously spared us in his tender mercy that we might be able to gather again this evening in this amongst our young friends and speak a word out of the holy word of God. Speak a word to you what we believe is vital and necessary for each one of us to know. And the word I believe was dropped into my spirit this morning is that word that we can find in the 10th verse of the first chapter. And it is this: that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And to think, dear friends, and as we gather together of walking, the walking worthy of the Lord, and speaking tonight in that sense of each one of us are responsible individuals for our conduct, for our conversation, for our lifestyle that we lead, the walk, the path that we lead in life. You know that people are watching you. That people look at each one of us, and that our examples are so important. The example that we leave, the example that we live. People watch, and they especially watch those who call themselves Christians. They do. Especially the world. The unbeliever. I'd take that back, actually. I would say especially, but the professing Christian also watches, because we believe, dear friends, we believe in that sovereign grace of God. And we would hotly contest those that are of that Armenian spirit, which believe that they can accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And there may be times in your life that you may be called upon to give an answer of your profession of faith or your confession of faith, what you believe, the doctrines that you believe as strict Baptists. And you may be called to defend those doctrines which are so contrary to our Armenian spirit and very contrary to the professing or to the vain world or the sinful world. And they will label you as a bigot and one who is very narrow-minded, very confined in your doctrine, what you believe to be true. Even friends, if it is in that outward way. I remember also when I was young, and and brought up in a Christian school and having the catechism being taught, a new doctrine in my head. I knew what we believed as a denomination. And then when we argue these points and believe them to be right, beloved friends, it is then that we shall become the spectacle of our opposers, and they watch us. If you believe this, then why do you do what you do? They will say to you, or they will think it in their minds. If you think that you are the right religion, then why do you act the way you do? You see, they look and watch your step, how you speak, how you act in your business, how you conduct yourself in university, whether you engage in all the vice or all the frolic of the others, or whether you are a different person, whether you are younger in school or whether you are in the workforce. They watch. They watch your walk. And so we see in this, in our scripture tonight, beloved friends, it is walk worthy of the Lord. You know, I could almost speak this instead of the young people, I could speak it to myself. Many times I will get a text. And then I have to say, Lord, what a hypocrite I am at times. How I feel to be such hypocrisy. I know the truth. I believe the truth. But how often I don't walk the truth. It smites the heart. I'll give you an example. In Maidstone, given that text to preach, trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. Most of my sermons are prepared and written down. I memorize them, I study them, and I pray the Lord will lead me. And the devil says, that's your own understanding. That's your own understanding. You're doing it out of your memory, out of your mind. You're a hypocrite. You see, our walk is so important. And the Lord will have us, beloved friends, to lay down our knees at the feet of the throne of grace, to come there as a poor sinner and say, Lord, show me, and Lord, teach me. Art thou not God, the almighty God who is able to perform wonders, creating the entire world out of nothing by speaking and it came to pass, who is the infinite being, the boundless God with boundless in knowledge and boundless in ability, boundless in power, boundless in all his ways. And you need to study. You need to write it down. You see, we need to walk the talk. We need to do, beloved friends, as we say, like James himself says, faith without works is dead. He that is only a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, that man's religion is vain. And so tonight, dear friends, we have this word, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We say tonight again, how is our walk as young people? This, again, friends, so often, you know, I repeat this in Sunday school so many times. Preaching isn't just for our parents to teach us. Preaching is for young and old. Teaching is for young and old. These discourses, we hope and pray that they are means to smite us in our soul and to exercise us in our walk, our spiritual walk, our daily walk that ought to be and must be spiritual and real, not hypocritical. And if it is hypocritical, that the Lord may smite us to make us real, true walkers according to what we believe. On the street, walking amongst the inhabitants of this town, or wherever we may live. Does our walk, beloved friends, does it echo the word of God? Oh, as long as, or the younger ones, you say it in that sense for the younger ones, as long as mom and dad don't see it, then it's okay. As long as mom and dad don't find us out, then it'll be all right. So long as the deacons don't know what we've done, should be okay. Is that our walk? Or is our walk consistent, beloved friends, that it doesn't matter who sees it? But it's a walk worthy of the Lord. That we begin to look higher up in our conduct in life. And our walk in religion. Or we say, what's that? A walk in the family, in the house. How we as young parents, how we raise our children. I know in my own experience, and I'm not even going to share the whole thing, but I would tell you, dear friends, that I would be a bankrupt man I would be a condemned man, or even further, I'd be a cast out man out of this place if I had to tell the emptiness of my teaching of my first children, the first ones born. The walk so inconsistent. You know, there you have deep hypocrisy. There you have the falseness of the tongue. There we have, dear friends, how we can be so two-faced if we are not brought to real religion. We can pretend religion, we can talk religion with the religious, and we can act vile and profane with the profane. That's how I had to label myself. That's why, maybe, beloved friends, that's why I feel such a burden on my soul to speak to you young ones of the necessity of being real Christians in your youth and walking a path consistent to the Word of God. That we need, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ in all these things. And Paul, writing to the Colossian churches, says that Christ may have the preeminence. That Jesus Christ may be all and in all. That if I am called upon to walk a worthy walk, it must be through a higher power. It must be through the grace of my God to deliver me from my sins, from my obstinate will, from my hypocritical spirit, my two-faced speech, and fill me with His love, and fill me with faith, and fill me with every grace which flows from heaven to make me walk worthy of the Lord. Oh, how empty I would have to say my life would be of this text. And what a mercy, friends, if you may be able to say the Lord has enabled me to walk worthy. The Lord has been gracious unto me and give me that love and that faith to truly be concerned about my soul. I was thinking of our heritage. I was thinking how we are rich in heritage of our forefathers, of the establishment of the particular Baptists in the 1600s, Hansford Knowles and Benjamin Keach and William Kiffin, as they were instrumental in establishing that particular Baptist denomination, defending the truth. And then you move up into the 1700s of our beloved John Gill writing his precious commentary. And you think of Anne Steele and writing those sacred hymns, which are such a comfort to us at times. Then we move into the 1800s of the, and I know I'm forgetting many of their friends, I don't pretend to be a historian in a sense, but these are some of the sacred names of those who walk worthy. Of William Gadsby and John Kershaw and Warmington and our gracious J.C. Philpott and many others. And the churches began, beloved friends, to be filled with those who are drawn to Jesus Christ and walk worthy according to His name. But my point, what I'm coming to here, beloved friends, is our religion a forefather religion? And we walk according to that truth because we're strict Baptists? Because we believe that we have true doctrines that are founded on the Word of God? Is that our walk? That we content ourselves that our forefathers are so eminent, our forefathers were so godly? Is our speech limited, dear friends, to the denomination that we are associated with and we can go no further? I think of that word in John chapter 1. And it says, which were born not of the flesh, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but we're born of God. If our strength, if our strength of speech, and if our confidence tonight, dear friends, is limited to being a strict and particular Baptist, it's an insufficient walk. I just take it to myself as a young man, young boy, actually a student. I used to argue continuously that we had the most soundest of denominations. There was no other sound denomination. Didn't even know about the strict Baptist, but I knew that I was right, and that was all that mattered. I could argue with anybody. Thought I was always right. That's not walking worthy. That's not walking well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's arrogance, beloved friends, and ignorance, and the greatest of extremes. How is it with us tonight? Are we content with an outward form? An outward walk, beloved friends? Please don't get me wrong. I'm exceedingly pleased to have you each in attendance this evening hour. Exceedingly pleased. Oh, that the Lord might keep you in this denomination, under the sound truth. But I believe it, beloved friends, I feel it to be such a responsibility to exhort you, dear friends, to never be content until Jesus Christ is your Savior. And then still never to be content, for we can never know enough of the beloved God-man. We can never be infatuated enough, beloved friends, with his precious visits. And we can never walk close enough and pure enough in his likeness and image. That is my concern tonight. That we may be taught to walk in a way that is in accordance to the commandments of God. And that our strength, friends, as Christians, is not in the denomination that we belong unto, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved me from my sins. That's the vital point. Are we walking worthy of the Lord in humility, in sorrow, in need? May the Lord be exceedingly gracious unto your precious souls to give us that one thing needful. That is, that we might be pleasing unto the Lord in our walk, in our cries, in our prayers, in your needs. It is vital and true Christian religion. It's never ending. Our religion, friends, is a searching religion. Our religion, friends, probes into our hearts and examines us whether our religion is real and true and whether our faith is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether your walk is the same as your talk. And your love is to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's what real and a true religion is, beloved friends. A life in, from, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, daily. For our walk is so contrary to what it ought to be. Our walk is so inconsistent with what it ought to be. And when we realize our emptiness, and we realize our inability to actually do this, what God commands of us, it is then that we turn to the word of the Lord and to the Son of God for guidance and deliverance. I wanted to turn to something in the word of God, Psalm 78. And the reason I want to turn there, friends, is because it gives us the sacred recordings in the word of God of what parents, what leaders are obligated to do to the younger ones, and why. Psalm 78, and I wanted to read the first 8 verses. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The reason I read this portion of God's most holy word, beloved friends, is obvious. You, dear friends, are the next generation. Your parents grow older, and soon they pass away. But they have taught you, and we pray they may have shown you, what it is to be saved by grace, what it is to walk in the ways of the Lord, how it is that we must have a consistent path, a walk in life, and that we must have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They would testify of the goodness of our God in his faithfulness to his word and to his people, that he has a people to be saved and they shall be saved, and they, we pray, were one of them. That we might even tonight declare to you, young ones, the beauty and the sweet savor of Jesus Christ to poor sinners, and the deep necessity to walk in the ways of God. Why I brought in the forefathers of the strict Baptists, beloved friends, that we can, you got to be blind not to see it. You know that full chapel, those many, many chapels which were bursting out of their seams for the members and the congregants, are many empty. And it seems as if, dear friends, the Spirit has withdrawn his power and presence from our midst. Oh, dreadful it is then, dear friends, if this should continue in our midst. And that the Spirit of God should withdraw himself, it was warned to the churches of Asia Minor. Do these works, lest the Spirit depart from you. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You see how important it is to walk a consistent walk. Don't think because we have Gadsby and Kershaw and Warrington and all these notable and godly and gracious men, that we are here to stay to the end of time. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself that the Lord will down from favor, with favor down from heaven upon us because of these things, because of our forefathers. That it would put us into that place, dear friends, of pleading with God for his opening up our eyes, and with a cry to heaven that we might yet be spared and preserved as a denomination, and that you, beloved friends, might become the pillars of the church to come when your parents are gone, and that the grace of God may have entered your souls and taught you the sacred truths that you must teach your children. These things are vital. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I don't want to drive you away, beloved friends, in that sense, for I love you dearly, and your souls are precious. But how much do we read this sacred word of God? And how precious is the Word of God to the soul. I may have said it before, and it's such a seed that I will never forget it. And I maybe have done it even last year. And it's very, very simple, but I remember in my mind because it's so distinct and because my soul could reach out to that man and kiss him for what he did. And it was this. He took the Bible as he was preaching and he put it to his soul, his heart, and he said that the Lord's people have had this word of God so dear to their hearts, for so precious it was to their souls at times, that they had kissed the word of God for the sweet savor of that word to their soul and the direction of this precious book to their lives and for their souls. This is what you need to know. For the church to be spared and preserved, and for you to become the pillars of the church to come, walking worthy of the Lord and having this word applied to our hearts with sacred power. When we are raised up, by the grace of God, we say, the Lord willing, by the favor of God, that you might be spared, and that you might come to an older age where we might be put to that responsibility of teaching the younger ones. That hymn writer says, what think ye of Christ? Young people, what think ye of Christ? Is he a mere man? That man 2,000 years ago that came to Israel and performed many miracles and died on the cross, was buried, rose in resurrection power and ascended to heaven, and furthermore we know nothing of him? What do we really think of that precious Emmanuel is the vital test and question tonight to you young people. May it reside in your minds, in your memories, dear friends, and may it sink into the soul if we know nothing of this precious, lovely man who has won the love of many, many people. Walk worthy of the Lord. And to those who have already tasted of this precious Savior, of his wondrous redeeming love, people drawn to the feet of Jesus to confess their sins and to pour out their supplications, their cries, their distresses to the soul, that you might walk worthy of this one you profess to love, and that the Lord would deepen that love to him and show you more and more of the wonders of him. As he causes his people, he gives his people so many reasons to love them. This particular verse, beloved friends, in Colossians, is one that has a measure of sweetness unto certain people. I remember just recently the dear woman that was enabled to come by faith and profess her confession of love to Jesus. It was this very text that enabled her to come forward, that she was called to walk worthy of her Lord, to obey him in his commandments and walk worthy unto him who had called her out of darkness into marvelous light. And that it might stay with the Lord's people day after day, that they're called to walk worthy of the Lord. It is their reasonable expectation. And it is vital, not just for one day of the week and the other 6 days we can live to ourselves. No, walking in that love of Christ every day of our life. Does that sound boring? It's easy, friends, for us to put on our suits and dress up for the worship service. It's not so easy to walk worthy of the Lord. And do you know why? Because there's nothing here that wants to walk worthy of him. That's why. We need that precious Lord Jesus Christ to bind himself to us and to influence our decisions and to fill us with a desire and to give us a precious love and melt our hearts, and then we walk in his ways willingly. That's how the child of God is enabled to commit their way unto God and to walk in that simple and sweet obedience unto him. I want to emphasize, friends, that this text is sent to the Colossian church, which are the Lord's people. To walk truly worthy of the Lord, as we would speak tonight, we need grace. We need faith. We can't do it without Jesus. And Paul's writing that to the church of Colossae, that they are those who have been saved by grace. They have faith. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. They are those, beloved friends, who know the Savior and the power of his precious blood. For you and I to walk worthy of the Lord, we need his precious blood. And that's why I said to you again, as I say so many services, what do you think of the dear dying man who willingly died on Calvary's cross, who was so shamefully treated on behalf of his children? How do we need him? Do we see that we are such poor sinners? We long to obey him and love him and follow him and yet cannot, fall so short of it? Do you actually mourn these things, friends? Does it sorrow your hearts in that sense? That's where we need to be brought. I wanted to read you several portions where we confirm this, and then we'll move on quickly. Hebrews 13, 22, it speaks of that, friends. Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, friends, if it couldn't be any clearer than that. That sacred unity of the Trinity again. The Father and the Son, in that sense. Applying the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And enabling a soul to be obedient unto God. My mind goes back to 1 Samuel 15, and 1 Samuel 15, I think it's the 22nd verse, but there, friends, it's speaking of King Saul. And if you know the story of King Saul, you know the story of a man who pretty much served God, but not quite all the way. Very much with his obedience. This obeying of God to follow his commandments and doing that which is pleasing in God's sight. And that very rebellious act of King Saul regarding the king of the Amalekites, Agag, I think it is. You might smile and say it's wrong. Let's move there for a minute and confirm that. In 1 Samuel 22, the point is that when Samuel came to King Saul, and he heard all that bleating of the sheep, he was incensed with King Saul at that sense. And that word so often comes in my mind. When in my own heart, I know in that sense, you are not obeying the Lord in the fullness of his commandment, walking in his ways, in that true obedience. And this is that word, Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And his kingship was taken from him because of his lack of obedience unto God and the commandments of God through Samuel. These things teach us, dear friends, how important it is for us to walk worthy of the Lord and to be obedient to his commandments. What is his commandments? What are the commandments of God? You know what the Lord wants of us? Our devotion and love. Love God with all thine heart and all thy soul and all thy might and all thy diligence. And the second table is of the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what the Lord, how the Lord have you and I walk. A humble walk of obedience in love. Now, let's take a count tonight and see who there is amongst us that can say, I've done that. Is there anyone, beloved friends, that can say, I have done that? You see what it does with us? If we, beloved friends, cannot say that we walk worthy of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ, it puts us in a solemn place. But if we can say that the Lord is our Savior, it will put us in that place, friends. Even then, we don't dare lift our hands up. Because we know that only time we walk worthy of the Lord is when he fills my soul with zeal. When he pours in his precious love into my heart and melts it and constrains it. And when he makes me willing and constrains me to follow in his commandments. Then I may say I walk worthy of the Lord through that gracious influence of my Savior in my life. We pray, friends, as we speak to you time after in these special times, that the Lord might teach you how vital it is for you as young ones to know this text. And we've already said it because if the Lord should raise you up, we have to know these things to teach our children. You see, you can't teach them from your head. You can't teach them what it is to walk worthy of the Lord if we don't know it in our soul. Because then we will lie to our children. We'll say, oh, if you do this and you do this and you do this, you're just like the rich young ruler. Oh, I've done all these things from my youth up. I have not committed adultery. I've not coveted after anything. I have kept the Lord's day. I've honored my parents. I've done everything. That's what we'll end up teaching our children. And it will become a legalistic doctrine. You will begin to teach your children to walk in an outward way and the Lord will be pleased. And that's not right. The Lord wants you and I, friends, with our giving our hearts to the Lord. My son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Write the table of my law upon thine heart. Bind them about thy neck, he says in Proverbs. And that we might commit our soul and all our daily circumstances in life, friends, to God in heaven to direct our paths and to instruct us in the ways of salvation. And what we don't know, that we might come, O send out thy light and thy truth. Psalm 43, verse 3. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them guide me. Let me bring me into thy holy hills, into thy tabernacle. Then we will walk worthy, knowing this precious Savior Jesus Christ and his strength given to us makes me willing and desirous to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ into your ears. And we pray into your souls. In 1 Peter, we find again. slipped my mind. It's in the Epistle of Peter, and it speaks the same word, beloved friends, of how the Lord, I could take my cheat sheet out, pull it out, but I'm not going to do that, beloved friends. You'll have to believe me that the Word of God and the Epistle of Peter declares that the God through the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who enables us by living faith to perfect the works that we are called upon to do. And Peter himself would be, we would say in this, there was Peter was one who was so well taught in that fact of that nothing he could do was pleasing unto his God. You just need to go back to Peter, how he blasphemed the name of his precious Savior. I know not the man. You see, that we're called to walk worthy of the Lord. And if there ever was an eminent disciple, an eminent apostle of Jesus Christ, it was Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for blessed flesh and blood hath not revealed these things unto thee, but thy Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus also says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but of men. He said that to Peter on one occasion. And now Peter writes in his epistle, kept by the power of God unto salvation. Why? Because he was so far from walking worthy of his Lord in his own strength. And may the Lord show you that too, friends, that you might teach it to the generation to come. It is in our Lord God alone that we can walk worthy. Oh, that the Lord would show you, friends, that you are wretched sinners and that you come so short of everything needful. But oh, my God has sustained my soul. And I believe there are those in our midst tonight who know these things, that God has truly sustained my soul. God has enabled me to walk worthy of his commandments. And God has showered my soul with sweet blessings of his sacred person. These, beloved friends, are wonderful truths, sacred truths to know. And you're not too young, friends, to know them. You're not too young to walk worthy of the Lord. I have never yet read in the Word of God that there was a stipulation on age. Never. But there is, beloved friends, a commandment to walk worthy of the Lord unto all well-pleasing. Are we strivers after this? Do we go, beloved friends, our day through without thinking of our souls? Does our walk today, has our walk today smitten us in our consciences? It has been absolutely absent of the contemplations of eternity. Whether my speech, whether my conduct in the sight of God was terrible. Oh, may the Lord have mercy on you and me, beloved friends. And may the Lord grant unto you and I, all of us together, that the Lord would enable us and fill us with his Spirit and empower us to walk as the Christian church ought to walk. There is nothing sweeter than when I hear that the Lord has constrained a soul to walk worthy of him, obedient to his commandments, humbled in their heart, hanging upon the Lord Jesus Christ for all their help and all their guidance. And when they speak of this walk, they speak praise to Jesus. That's what I hope that may be given to you and myself. We can never know enough of it. Then the church will thrive and the church will prosper. When it will be filled with such walkers in the strength of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then, beloved friends, the world will say, there goes a different person. There goes one, a strange one, different than everyone else. There goes a humble walker. There goes one whose speech matches the feet. And may the Lord give to you
that precious grace, that the world may look at you. They may mock you, and they certainly will mock you. The world hath hated me, and they will hate my children as well. But, beloved friends, what is the mockery of the world and the contempt of the world and the despising of the professor to the life in Jesus Christ and the walk worthy of a Christian? May the Lord favor us, beloved friends, with this precious blessing. And may God have all the praise and honor and glory. But our souls united to Jesus, walking in his footsteps. That's what we need. Following our Savior Jesus. And then, beloved friends, our walk shall be commendable. Walking is a low spirit. I am a worm and no man. Walking in the least opinion of our own wretched self, having been taught how poor we really are. Walking in that sincere love to our beloved brethren, and filled with a desire and a concern for other mankind. Walking, beloved friends, with a life filled with prayer and time that is spent meditating in the Word of God, seeking, searching to know the truths of the God of heaven and earth, his precious names, his precious attributes, his sacred Son. And may your lives, beloved friends, be consumed with seeking to know that blessed Savior and his Father, God. We will end there. Let us sing now from hymn number 955. Watched by the world with jealous eye, that fain would see our sin and shame, as servants of the Lord Most High, as zealous for his glorious name, may we in all his footsteps move, with holy fear and humble love. 955. gracious and loving God of heaven and earth, we commit unto thee, O Lord, our beloved friends and their precious souls, and the life they live now upon this earth. O Lord, that thou might be pleased to draw them into thy embrace, teach them thy ways, grant them, Lord, that ability to walk according to thy commandments, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being filled with thee with all good works and increasing in the knowledge of God. O Lord, look down from heaven and forgive all that thou hast seen amiss and are gathered together this night again. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.